Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Francis.
Hi. Is it Sasha?
You didn't record. Yeah, it didn't record your name, so I didn't know who was there. Did you say your name?
Yeah. That's weird.
That's weird. Technology. Is it snowing up there, or are you down here?
I'm still up here. It's not snowing. It snowed last night. Is it snowing down there?
Very, very light flurries. Barely. Barely.
Okay.
It's just like 30% chance. But, you know, you go from Sunday and yesterday to today. It's just,
I know.
It's challenging.
It is. I think we're
so
all
not
for spring.
Oh, for sure.
Hello?
Yeah, we'd be in here. Hello?
Hi.
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 That's okay. It's weird because I'm not hearing anybody announce themselves. So is that Nicole and Josh?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Brandy.
And Francis. And then Brandy and Olga, are you with us?
Yes. I'm Brandy. I'm here.
Okay. And Olga? Okay, that's weird. I didn't get announcements that you guys were here. All right, let's give her just a minute. And then we'll get started. Let's go ahead and start. I've got a couple minutes after 10. I'm sure she'll be joining us. Well, at least I didn't get a message that she wouldn't be. So there's a little bit of background noise. So if you're not going to be the one to volunteer to ground us, maybe place yourself on mute, star six. And with that said, is there anyone that's willing to ground us this morning or afternoon, wherever you are?
Hi, this is Nicole. I guess I will.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you guys need grounding? Do you want to do a grounding?
I'm okay with grounding. I don't mind.
Okay. All right. I just
I'll
think
just
it
do
just
a quick one.
Things. Yeah, no worries. No worries. We're not in a rush. Thank you, Nicole.
Okay. So if everyone can just uncross their legs wherever they are, and please place your feet on the ground and uncross your arms if they're crossed and place your hands on your lap. And close the eyes. And just listening to your breath, feeling your heartbeat. And sending any kind of erratic or external energy in towards your body. Just begin to sense your feet, your left foot, and your right foot, and your sit bones on whatever you're sitting on. And then just paying attention towards the diaphragm right beneath the rib cage. If you can feel that lift and expand and contract, just watching how it works, how it operates. And letting your shoulders melt down towards the earth. And then any sort of unwanted thoughts, any sort of negativity, just letting that wash through the body towards the earth, out through the legs. And drawing in some positive light up into the heart from the floor. And just allowing your crown to be open towards the sky, bringing in fresh prana, fresh ideas, new possibilities. And feeling where that resonates in your body. And just taking two more deep breaths here, just settling into your body, feeling its form. And then when you're ready, just opening the eyes.
Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate you volunteering to do that. I know for me, it helps me so much get grounded. I mean, I'm already ready for the call, but, you know, it's just another tool that we as yoga teachers and coaches can use to not only serve ourselves in getting centered, but also serve our clients. So thank you. All right, I just shot Olga a quick email, so we'll see what happens with her.
Hello.
Olga.
Yeah,
hi.
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Welcome. I'm good. It's
did you guys check in already?
No, we're doing that right now.
Okay.
And guess what? You're going to start us off.
Okay.
But before you start, I'd just like to welcome everyone and welcome back, Brandy, from 2 weeks of off the call, and we're glad to have your energy back. And just to let you know that Jess will be leaving at the top of the hour. So as we go around the circle, I'd love for you to continue to do what we always do each week, to share a win and a challenge. So Olga, would you like to start off?
My win was this weekend. I went to Nikki Meyer's workshop in Connecticut for the yoga Y12SR program.
Right.
So that was a huge win. Oh, my God. It was just an amazing, amazing workshop, and she's an amazing being. She says hello.
Thank you. She'll be here on Thursday. I'll see her on Thursday. That's great. I'm glad you introduced yourself.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, being in a group and being so moments of vulnerability, and so many things come up in these groups. So, you know, there's this amazing space that you feel that things come up and you allow yourself to release. So, yeah, so that was my win and my challenge at the same time, because of all the stuff that did come up, and some things that did come up, like in the back of my mind, I'm saying, should I have said that? Should I have not said that? So I'm just processing all that, and so it's all good. I'm working through all of it.
Great. Well, sounds like a powerful weekend. I'm really glad you had the opportunity to be in that space with her with that program. She's doing wonderful things in the world. It's processing. So lots of self-care, lots of meditation, and things will continue to show up for you.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you for starting us off, Olga. Who would like to go next? This is Frances. I'll go.
Thanks, Frances.
So my win is that I got through the last couple weeks, which was just more challenging and busy than ever before. So that's over and done with, and that's good. And I've also just kind of set more boundaries around how much I'm allowing myself to teach, because I think that was it was really affecting me before, so it feels good to be able to say no to classes and have that be okay. And my challenge, I think, is just regaining back energy. It's just taking me a while to feel normal again. And I know that'll just come with time and more sleep and everything, but yeah. great. Yeah, it's really important to, again, the self-care piece is creating the boundaries that allow you to keep that balance between your work life and your personal life, right? Because if we burn out in service to what we're doing, you know, it's just not a good scenario, and that's when we end up getting sick. So, yeah, just good reminders around the self-care piece.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Who's next? And we have a little bit of background noise. I'm not sure from where. But if you're not speaking, could you put yourself on mute, please? Thank you.
Hi, it's Brandy.
Hi.
So I'm going to go ahead with my win this week is I'm working on building a program for digestive health, and I work as a graphic artist, and I have a lot of that material already. We worked on it this week, so it's almost ready to print, so it's exciting. That was part of my SMART goals. And then, yeah, that was my win for this week.
And any challenges that you'd like to share?
Yeah, challenges just getting back into starting a new spring session, and then, yeah, just challenges of just organizing that and seeing what classes are really going to work and what's not going to work. Yeah, and just.
Okay. Great, thank you. So was that one of your 30-day SMART goals? To put your program for digestive health together?
Well, yeah, that's the whole SMART goal. So one of them was one of the, yeah, I guess one of the 30
initiatives.
Yeah, was one of the work and get.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. That's awesome. Okay, one of the LA girls.
This is Jess. I'll go.
Okay.
I'm trying to decide what I want to share for my win for the week, but I think I'm going to go in a different direction than I normally do and share that I'm building a really, what I believe to be healthy and solid relationship with this guy. His name is Martin, and we met in December, but we just started dating in January, and it really feels like the first time in my life that I've had a very mature adult stable relationship, and I don't know where it's going, and I don't really care. I'm just having fun, and it just feels really good. So I'm proud of myself because it's taken a lot of self-discovery and work and therapy and everything under the sun to really get to this place. And my challenge has been my yoga practice. I feel like the quality is there when I'm doing self-care and home practice, but I've only been doing public classes maybe once a week, and that's not okay with me. I would really like to be in that group energy at least twice a week, maybe three times. So creating the space for that, and I find my trade-off is sleep. So last week I said I wasn't getting enough sleep. This week I'm getting enough sleep, but I'm not getting enough practice in. So finding that balance.
Would teaching another class or second or third class, how does that interfere with your sleep? Are you teaching at night?
Yeah, teaching, it hasn't interfered with my sleep that much, but it definitely interferes with my ability to practice because when I'm teaching in the morning and the evening and I'm working all day,
oh,
I don't really have time to practice. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah,
I'm
not getting enough public practice and like a good sweaty flow, and so I'm feeling the difference in my body.
Okay. Awesome. Again, that self-care piece coming up for most everyone. Congratulations on hanging out with Martin. That's a huge win.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nicole.
Hi. It's funny. Like, my phone keeps going on auto lock, and so every time I want to talk, I'm like, I have to keep pressing the button. So that's why I'm talking. Thanks for sharing, everybody. My win similarly to Jess, I've had some really honest, very open, really amazing conversations with my ex-boyfriend recently that have felt really adult and very mature, and that's been a huge win for me. In addition to just my, I feel like my private business, my private practice is going really well with Reiki and yoga. So I had a great week. My challenge has been, now that I've created abundance, I'm getting lots of choices for things to do, and I'm having trouble discerning which ones are the best choices for me and which ones to say no to, similarly to Francis. So that's been my biggest challenge, is learning how to say no, and which options, when they seem to be all pretty good options, are not the options to take or the options to take. So that's my challenge.
And what specific, what specific tool do you use to make that decision, just real briefly?
I've actually been doing what I think I've been practicing on some of the coaching calls with the girls, is just feeling them in my body and trying to imagine myself in the scenarios and if they feel good or not. And if they feel like they're in alignment. Yeah.
So you're going with that somatic experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that. Mm-hmm. So I am definitely going to move to LA so I can find an adult mature relationship. Because clearly I'm not finding one here.
It doesn't come easy. I'll trust me on that one.
Okay. Will you guys put me up for a little bit until I can check up?
Sure.
Totally. Right. Yeah. Of course.
All right. Enough of sharing on my end. Okay. Thanks, you guys. I'm always interested in hearing how your week's been and how you're really staying connected to what's serving you and where the challenges are. Okay. So I just want to let you know, I can't believe this is week 10, right? It's just gone by so fast. Dr. Dave will be with us next week, and I will – oh, great, it's snowing here. I'm looking out my window, and it's snowing. Okay, focus. All right, he will be with us next week. I'll send you some documents to look over before our next call. He'll be taught – he's brilliant. He's the author of most of the articles that I've sent you, and he'll be talking about the business of becoming a mentor coach. Have your questions ready. He is so amazing. He'll be with us for an hour, and then the last half an hour we'll still do our coach to coach and feedback. So in place of me and us being integrated in lecture and discussion, it'll be you in discussion with Dr. Dave, and I'll be there, of course. And then after next week's call, which is week 11, I'll be sending out the exam. You guys knew there was an exam, right? Did I say that up front? Okay, you guys are on mute. There will be an exam sent out, and you'll have a week after our 12th call to turn it in. I'll send it to you via email. It's very short, very sweet. You can't pass or – I mean, it's not pass or fail. It's just and it's open book. It's just me getting a sense that you guys have wrapped your – mind around these principles and these tools of what mentor coaching is before I release you to the world and your clients that are waiting for you. Okay. So now I would like to go back around the circle before we get into our reading. And today's call is really designed around the use of our intuition. We had a little bit of homework there with it. And we're going to dive into it a little bit more, into how our intuition, can serve us working with our clients and also working with our students. So it doesn't matter where we start. I would like to hear from each of you, just to share your experience of how your personal intuition serves you both on and off the mat. Experience you've had, anything like that?
This is Jess. I feel like my intuition has definitely served me as both a teacher and a student. And specifically as a student, if I feel like there's a pose I shouldn't go into, then listening to that voice and not pushing from a place of ego, or if I need a child's pose, taking a child's pose, just being honest with myself and trusting my intuition. And also trusting my intuition about what teachers I want to take class from. Like sometimes I'll have a break in my schedule and I feel like, oh my God, I really have to go practice. But the teacher that's teaching energetically does not fill my well. And so I have to decide to do something different, like to take a walk or to really just only be with the teachers that are going to nourish me. As a teacher, I feel like all the time I'm using my intuition to see if students need more intensity or less intensity, if someone needs a little extra attention or care before or after class, giving them that extra energetic attention. Or conversely, there's people that you can tell they don't want any adjustments. You know, they don't say it, but you just know that they're, like, kind of doing their own thing and honoring that space that they're creating.
It's really such a great tool to have, to be able to read people's energy. I am by no means any expert, but I'm learning, and I love the path of learning. Sean Korn does that a lot, and I think it's a valuable tool to work with your students and your clients. So that's great that you're tapping into that. I'm curious, though, Jess, because I'm the same way. You know, in terms of teachers that I will go take their classes, and I'm trying to be more open-minded around it, and still feel like I'm going to get value for what I'm needing and wanting in my practice, and will that teacher be able to meet me there? But I'm curious, when you say that, is it someone that you know that you've already taken a class with that doesn't resonate with you? Or is it a new teacher that you're just not in the space to explore in that particular moment?
I actually love taking with new teachers because I like to see how they approach things. And we don't often get new teachers because our schedule at Main Street is really set. It's more that there's a few specific teachers that teach in a way that I feel is not safe, and also tend to be more militant and sarcastic with their students. One guy in particular will say, you know, if you can't hold plank for very long, then maybe you should lose some weight. Like, it's not very kind. So I can't practice with those people. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. I would love to ask you probably 10 more questions, but I want to go around the world, the country. Sorry, I don't know what's up with me today. All right, who would like to go next and share your experience of how your intuition has served you both on and off the mat?
This is Olga.
Thank you.
Following with the beginning of what Jess said, if I was in that class, so I just want to point out, most, you know, I'm built very big. I'm 175 pounds, and you know, I can hold plank for 3 minutes, so it has nothing to do with being overweight.
Woo-hoo.
I would probably tell them.
I agree.
Okay.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Intuition for me is like a warning of flow and resistance. You know, that's how I pretty much define it for myself. And it comes up more when I'm grounded. So if I'm scattered, you know, I lose my intuition. And I've noticed now, you know, in these questions coming up, that because I think I'm, it seems like my workload with insurance is, you know, overflows into yoga or, you know, into coaching. So it seemed, you know, in the past couple of weeks that it's just a lot of things that I tend to lose that intuition because I'm losing my focus. So it's something that I'm going to be paying more attention to, because that means I'm not as grounded as I'd like to be. So definitely, I mean, the answer to the question is that, you know, I notice resistance instead of flow when I'm not in touch with my intuition.
Hmm. That's great awareness. I'm curious for you, have you had an experience of that happening while you're teaching a class? And what have you noticed and what did you do about it?
In class, if I'm giving a class and something like that may happen, I will admit, oh my goodness, you know, I just lost my focus, Olga, refocus again, and it, you know, I pretty much laugh about it, but, you know, I realize, you know, what happened there. It's just, for me, it's mostly just work overload and the demands of my job, and so it's like, okay, I enjoy all these things, but, you know, I was trying to balance them all and, you know, maybe delegating, you know, more, you know, of my insurance in order to be able to incorporate more of the yoga and the coaching. So that's something that, you know, slowly, you know, I'm looking at. And,
That's great.
Question?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, there's no right or wrong here. It's just, you know, sharing. I'm curious, you know, where this quality, this tool shows up and how it serves you. Thank you. Who would like to go next?
Hi, this is Nicole. I loved what Olga shared about groundedness. Because I do feel like that is the same with me. I feel very tapped in if I'm grounded, and then I will definitely lose focus if I'm overworked or scattered, externally oriented, whatever it is. So teaching, I feel like intuition for me comes in if I'm reading, really listening and reading energy. An example was yesterday. It's been getting quite hot in L.A.
Hello.
Quite the opposite.
Gosh, I can't believe you just said that.
I know, it's so crazy. So yesterday was a great example. I was in class teaching, and it got really hot in the room really quickly at this one studio that I work in, and I could see it in people's faces. And I had a whole idea, you know, or agenda of what I wanted to teach that day, but it was super clear that that was just not going to happen. I mean, everyone was kind of dying in the room, and so I just backed off. And I actually made it into a completely different class based on what I was seeing. I was seeing a lot of agitation, so I started to work with the different chakras around that. And then it ended up being this very soft class, which was not, you know, what I intended. And so it was great. It was like I just very much tapped into reading people's energy and what was given to me at the moment. And I do that also a lot with Reiki, and I know that there are some Reiki practitioners on the call, so it's like we're always reading people's energy and whatever comes up on the table, and that becomes stronger and stronger, and I think those practices feed and complement one another very well, so I'm really feeling blessed to have that other practice as well.
That's awesome. That's such a beautiful example of using your intuition on the spot. Well, usually it is on the spot, but being able to still hold the space of a yoga class while in your mind navigating a different path than you originally came in with. And that's, in my mind, one of the qualities of a great teacher. So that's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Who's next? This is Frances.
I agree with what everyone said in terms of on the mat and just reading the energy of your room and your students. And I think, like what Nicole and Olga said about being grounded, I think that's something that helps me too, and allows me to tap more into my intuition as well. Just really reading the energy of your students and the room and seeing what they need that day and tapping into that space. In terms of off the mat, I think my biggest lesson in intuition and example, I guess, is just everything that brought me to where I am now. It was like 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, when I first met my boyfriend Nathan, and we were acquaintances for a good like year and a half. But there was all like from the first day that we had met, I knew there was just there's always more, and it's always like, I mean, it was a combination of a gut feeling and just visions or whatever you want to call them. But even though we kind of went our own different ways in that year and a half, there was something about it that I always knew there was more. And so it ended up, over the last few years, we ended up leaving Colorado Springs together and then ultimately moving here together. And so everything that I had envisioned back when I first met him, it all kind of happened. And so just kind of following and sticking to that intuition ultimately has brought me here to where to a place that I had just envisioned 3 years ago. So looking back, it's just really neat to see that whole process building. And by no means was it easy. I definitely had my periods of just struggle and everything. But, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Frances. I think we have a theme running here, like an undertone here of romance. So underneath the intuition. Thank you for sharing your experiences. I think it's Brandy. Maybe she's trying to unmute.
No, we. Me?
Okay. Hi. Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Okay, intuition. So one thing about intuition is also I feel just reading somebody's eyes, I think there's a lot of expression in the way people hold their face, eye contact, and trying to see, to really get a sense of intuition. What are they holding there in their face? So that's one way that I've felt of course with intuition and just really holding that face-to-face expression, getting an understanding of what they're holding there in their face, eyes. And so that could be maybe on the mat and off the mat at the same time.
Awesome. Thank you. So it's interesting to hear, you know, we talk about intuition, I think, all the time in the world of yoga as teachers, as facilitators. And, you know, I'm not sure how much each of you use it in your lives off the mat, but it's really an amazing tool. And it's really just something that can serve all of us or serve you in becoming a mentor coach. So with that said, let's please turn to page 57 in the manual. And we're going to read this entire page, except for the last sentence. So who would like to, I'll just ask Jess to read since you're not going to be with us the whole time. Do you mind reading page 57 on intuition, responding intuitively?
Sure.
Thank you.
Intuition is a knowing not formulated from data or intellectual processes, a knowing without knowing why. While listening informs all other skills in coaching, coaching is not just about the questions, answers, and solutions. It is also a pattern of intuitive response. The coach responds to the client, and some of this response can be intuitive. For example, you may have a flashing image, a word, or a name that doesn't necessarily make sense, or a gut feeling. Trust it. With intuition, you receive an impression before you know what to think. Decide if it would be useful to share with your client. If you do share it, express it with a different balance than other kinds of observations. For example, I have a hunch that I'd like to share with you to see if it's useful for us to consider. I have a sense that, I wonder if, intuition is most accessible when the coach is fully grounded, just like Olga said, and present, centered in order to have a full access to a full range of experience and states of mind.
Yes, with all of you or most of you mentioning grounding, I'm like, oh, they've read the material, but maybe not. They just, you know, you just have that sense. So let's just discuss this a little bit in terms of how you understand this, how it can serve you in furthering your client's agenda, or a parallel of intuition in yoga. And I know Nicole gave us one in terms of a class, but I want to dive a little bit deeper. So whatever pieces of those topics you would like to discuss, whether it's on the mat, how it can serve your client. But let's just start with, I'll sum it down. Let's just talk about how using your intuition can serve you as a mentor coach in furthering your client's agenda. Anyone want to
Can I ask a question about this?
Of
this
course. Of course. Questions.
I'm wondering what the kind of line is in terms of when we say hijacking an agenda and having a hunch that you'd like to share. Because sometimes to me it sounds as if, you know, if we do have an intuitive hit, if we bring something new into the conversation, there could be a fine line of hijacking the agenda because you're inserting your own intuition. So I'm kind of wondering if you have an example of that. Like, would that be hijacking someone's agenda sometimes if you're inserting something? Or is it really just that you're supporting them?
That's an awesome question, and it's really a fine line there to make that distinction. When you are asking permission, I think that separates between saying that you're recognizing that you're having an aha moment and you want to check in with your client to see if that's something that resonates with them versus taking them on a different path.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you look at these, if you look at these examples and quotations, I have a hunch that I'd like to share with you to see if it's useful for us to consider. Just a way of giving, asking permission, because the client could say, "Yeah, I can understand maybe how you thought that, but that doesn't resonate with me." So they'll let you know if you're on track or not. And I have a sense that. So it's the language that you use that really, in my opinion, discerns the difference between using your intuition and hijacking someone's agenda. And that is such a great question. Thank you for bringing that up, because it is a fine line sometimes. But as you guys go forward and get stronger and build more confidence and build your clientele, if, in fact, you are going down this path, you'll get a better sense of that, too. You'll know exactly. It'll become clearer.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're still in discussion mode. Would anyone like to share on how intuition can serve both the coach and the client in moving the client's agenda forward? Maybe an example of something that you've experienced where someone else used their intuition to help you, not necessarily that you used your intuition to help them.
This is Jess. I'll give an example of a coaching call I had with my friend a few weeks ago, Mike, and we were talking about his work habits, and he intuitively put together that some of the experiences he creates throughout his day in order to be in a more productive frame of mind, like having hot tea and doing things that are warm and nourishing, reminds him of his grandparents, because he always has tea when he was with his grandparents. So he brought together kind of an intuitive connection with how he's still, like, enacting positive behaviors, tying him to his roots. And that was really cool to see him make that connection. And I don't know if that's intuition, but it felt like it.
Well, intuition is, a big part of intuition is feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So people may describe it in various ways. We're just using this page 57 as a description here written in this particular manual. But I think intuition is such a tremendous well of information, and people may define it differently. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Anyone else like to share?
This is Olga. I'm just remembering being on the yoga mat when I was trying to do headstand. And if my teacher wasn't intuitive, he would not have realized that I was putting more weight on my head than on my arms, because sometimes it's hard to see. So basically he said, roll, you know, your arms in, so you're pressing down, you know, on the arms. And, you know, it's just the way he put it, and it was just like, you know, the movement was probably, you know, the, I don't know, half a centimeter. It was really, really small, but that made all the difference. So so that, you know, that was what made me stay up instead of, you know, thinking that, oh, my God, I'm going to fall down. So, but then that made me go more into my body and have a sense of like, this is what it takes. You know, just that little movement allowed me to stay up. So I don't know, it was just his intuition to see that I could do it just by that little movement. I don't.
So I'm going to make a distinction that I hope will make sense. Or ask it to you in a different way. Could your instructor have been looking at you from a physical standpoint and noticing that more weight was in your head than was in your forearms? And would you think that is intuition, the physical piece?
I think that there was something in him that he knew that I was able to do it, or I had the strength to do it. Mm-hmm. It was just that by him saying, you know, just press down a little bit more and let go of your head slightly, as if you had, you know, a piece of paper in between, you know, the floor and the crown of the head. I mean, it was just those words that, you know, just gave me the confidence to stay up.
Right. That's awesome. So your teacher used his skills of yoga and the mechanics of a certain asana to move you towards what he knew through his intuition that you could probably accomplish.
Right. Yeah.
And you did. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so we're going to continue on. Before we continue on, so just talking a little bit more about the yoga piece. So I'm sure you're well aware that the third eye center, right, the sixth chakra, is our place of intuition. And I'm curious if any of you mention that in your classes or do any dialogue or theming or asana around the sixth chakra, Anya.
Hi, it's Brandy.
Okay, Brandy, go ahead.
Yeah, so definitely I do a lot of personal, I guess, opening in the third eye center and also in my classes. So one of the places in class would be child's pose and really resting the third eye and getting that spot grounded. That's interesting, so just grounding it in the way we were talking about earlier, even physically grounding the third eye space.
Right.
Yeah, it's the gateway inwards to the the highest self to that place of clarity. It's do a lot of work on keeping it soft also, just noticing almost, you know, like I said, you get a lot of wisdom from someone's eyes and also how they're holding their eyes and how they're holding that area of the third eye. You know, is there a lot of tightness? Is there a lot of worry? Is there a lot of tension, sadness, holding? So really working on, you know, keeping those muscles soft and open so you could access the third eye point.
Thank you for sharing. That goes, yeah, directly what you shared with us earlier around facial expressions. So using asana to tap into the third eye center is a great way to tap into allowing people to find their own intuition and what works best for them in their practice. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Unless anyone has anything else to share, let's turn to page 257, and I'm going to take you all through a little exercise. Everybody up for that? Okay, it'll be painless. So once again, please find a comfortable seated position. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just consciously take three deep breaths. Just to feel yourself get grounded and centered for this brief exercise. Okay. So the first piece of this, and it's just a way to calibrate intuition, is to say yes to yourself many times. Say the word yes to yourself many times. And pause for a moment there. Now, think yes, the word yes to yourself many times. So we've moved from saying to now thinking the word yes. Then pause there and feel yes to yourself many times. And pause there. And now I'd like for you to think about something that is a definite yes. Without question, absolute yes. And the final piece to this is to be aware of what your body feels like when you experience yes. Take a very full breath in through the nose. Exhale it out the mouth. We do one more piece of this exercise. If you read the material, you know what's coming. But if you're intuitive, you also know what's coming. So once again, close your eyes. And I'd like for you to think no to yourself. Excuse me, say no to yourself several times.
Pause there. Now shift to thinking no to yourself several times. And pause there. Next is to feel no to yourself. And I'd like you to think about something that you associate with a definite no. And finally, become aware of what your body feels like when you experience no. And take a huge breath into your body. Open mouth, exhale. Slowly open your eyes. And there obviously are some examples in the book, but I would like for each of you, just briefly, to reflect on your own experience of what those two exercises, saying yes and no, thinking, feeling, what is it, the somatic experience. So we're really kind of tapping into an energetic quality here. What was that experience like for you?
This is Frances. The yes just in my body felt really open and bright. And then the no was definitely the opposite. It just felt really restricted. And so there's a clear difference between the two.
Okay. And a third part to this, not to put you on the spot, but how could your experience in this exercise help you to be a stronger, more connected coach for your client?
Just tapping into that feeling whenever I maybe am thinking about saying something or have that intuition piece come up. So even checking in with myself with whether it's appropriate to say at that moment or not.
Mm. Exactly. Exactly. So this is all tied in, obviously, to calibrating your intuition when and when not to use it. Great. Thanks, Frances. Who else?
This is Jess. I get really, my skin changes when I'm in the yes versus no. Like, I get tons of chills when I'm in the yes space, and I notice that throughout my day, and even when I'm thinking about, like, whether I want to do something or not, I'll wait and see if I get chills and, like, kind of that shiver up the back of my spine. And if I don't, then it doesn't mean I'm not supposed to do it, but it just means it's not probably quite as aligned as another choice. And in the no space, I don't feel the chills, and I actually start getting a headache. So my nervous system is, like, really responsive to the yes versus the no.
Hmm. It's so great that you're so that connected, that you're having physical sensations, right? And the somatic piece of this is really huge too. So it's energy, somatics, intuition. They're all intertwined. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. Who else wants to share?
Hi, this is Nicole. With the yes, I get tingling. The hair stands up on my arms. I get a nice little smile. And with the no, I feel more of a shrinking and a smallness, and then I get very heavy. And then I have a downward smile. It's not as smiley. I definitely can feel the difference. I think this would be really powerful when you're intuiting and to help make decisions.
And are you referring more towards your decisions as to collaborating with either your client or your student?
Yeah, I think both. Mm-hmm. I think both. I definitely feel like I tend to not adjust or do anything on the mat if I'm not really feeling it, you know, just for the sake of touching somebody. I've been really cognizant of that lately. And usually my intuition is pretty right on, I think, with that. So.
Mm. Awesome. So great. Thank you. Who would like to go next? So I want to hear from everybody on this piece. Okay, thanks, Olga.
Sure. On the yes, I felt, you know, just sitting up straighter, you know, my shoulders coming back, like opening up the heart, and just feeling grounded on my sitting bones, and that happens. Now, for me, with the no, I usually, it's almost like an electric current throughout my body, and my hair stand up, and my shoulders start, you know, to droop. So that's how I feel it, the yes and the no, when you were going through that exercise.
And would you be able to, you know, obviously a lot of the way that we set up coaching is over the phone, and we talked about that, being able to really tap into energy. But how could this serve you if you were working with someone live? And now I'm talking in a coaching environment versus obviously you're going to be live when you're working with your students on the mat.
So if I were doing it like a coaching one-on-one in person?
Mm-hmm. And yes, and you saw their shoulder slump, or, you know, you saw in them what you just experienced in your own body. How could that serve you to help stay in collaboration with them?
Yeah, I mean, maybe just by asking, what are you feeling in your body right now? You know, you know, I just noticed a change in your body. Can you tell me more?
Mm. Brilliant, powerful questions.
Okay.
These are great. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brandy, what are your thoughts?
Okay. So for the yes, it was just like a positive affirmation. It just felt like a lot of positive openings in the body. Like even a sweet smile on the face. And then for the nose, it just felt like punishment. It felt like, you know, it was like a little kid being punished, you know. That was just a feeling of everything closing down. And, you know, dark. So sort of like Frances, she was describing the yes with the light, and then for me, I guess, the no with the darkness. Same thing.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I know it can be powerfully personal for each of us and how we experience this exercise. But it's just a tool to just notice, be aware of in our own bodies, for like how Francis said about knowing what to say or feeling like if it's appropriate to say or how it's landing in your own body. But then also having the sense of what's going on energetically with your clients. So you guys are all just so on target. You're all so intuitive. Yay. Okay. All right. We're at the top of the hour. Jess, I know you've got to go. So reach out if there are any questions on the last half an hour of our call when you listen to it.
And okay, thank you.
A great week, and I'll send you the documents from Dr. Dave. And also just look at the homework.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, everyone.
And we'll have Nicole coaching Brandy with Olga being our observer. And before we start that session, who would like to share the five tools of the simple coaching model?
I will. It's Brandy.
Thank you.
Specify the client's agenda. number one. Determine useful intervention moments. Shift the perspective. Frame the session. And follow up.
Great. So we'll be listening for those as well as the intuition piece. Okay, so everyone but Nicole and Brandy, let's press star 6 and mute. Ladies, watch your time. Have a great session. And just give us a minute to get on mute.
Hi, Brandy. This is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Yeah.
Good. I was just going to ask you if you needed to be grounded, if you feel grounded, or if you'd like to just get started with the call.
I could do a grounding. That would be great. Thank you.
Okay, great. I'm just going to ask you to gently close your eyes, sit up nice and tall, and just take a moment to take a deep breath in. And then open mouth, exhale, let go. And just two more deep breaths like that, inhaling. Let it resonate in the lungs. And exhale. And then a final deep breath, just bringing in some positive light into the heart. And any sort of negativity, just letting it just wash through the body on the exhale. And then just blink your eyes open. Do you feel a little bit more grounded?
Yes, thank you. That was beautiful.
Good. So what would you like to focus on today in your session?
Agenda. So my what I guess I would like to focus on is I'm building a program, Yoga for Digestive Health, and it's coming up, starting with a fundraiser at the end of April. It's going to be a big, big, large fundraiser. And then I have to start, marketing the material beforehand. So I guess really trying to find time to really just completely dedicate to building up this program, which is really, really important to me. And I haven't really been putting in maybe time on my mat or time just writing as material enough. I mean, I guess, just really trying to feel that out in my reschedule and see how I'm going to add that in.
Okay. So just to reflect back to you what you have specified, you're building the Yoga for Digestive Health fundraisers in April, and you need to market it to get people to come. And you're trying to find some time to get it dedicated to this aspect of the project. But at this point, you haven't put too much time into it, and you're just trying to figure out where you can add that in to your schedule?
Yeah, I guess, to really build the program, really build the essence of the program. I think that, to sort of maybe block off some time and see what I need to move forward with.
Okay. So just looking at building in time, what might that look for you? Or what might that look like for you?
I think that it would involve time on my yoga mat, just really dealing with how to work it in yoga class. It would involve some research in pharmaceutical, what's happening on people medication for Crohn's, colitis, and IBS. It would involve writing out stuff for my website and writing out some health questionnaires for, so some sitting, some organizational on and off the mat stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And currently, putting time on the yoga mat and researching pharmaceuticals and writing your website, how do you envision that might look like during the week?
My wife is so busy.
So if you had 7 days, 7 days in the week, how many days might you accomplish each? How many, let's break it down. Let's break it down a little bit into bite-sized chunks. If you had a week, could you foresee doing these three things in 7 days?
Okay. I think I would have to be really serious and put it in my schedule and just commit to it until this course is sort of flowing. I guess that I would have to really look at my schedule and it's just so full at the moment. But yes, soon this Tuesday time will free up for me starting April, so I could use this time slot. And until then, I don't know, I would have to look at my schedule and try to put in a 2-hour time slot somehow, which would be the minimum of really what I need to be doing for now for that.
I'm curious, you said a 2-hour time slot. Is the 2 hours for the yoga, the research, and the website, or are we prioritizing one of those three?
I think that they would go together. You know, I don't think it matters what I would put the time, like as long as a couple hours a week goes into it, whether it's on and off the mat, it doesn't matter to me at the moment. Because it's all, because it's so connected, because what I'm teaching is yoga. So whether it's something physical that I'm working on the mat, or whether it's, you know, writing out the material from what I just experienced. So it doesn't matter which order.
Okay. Okay, so I'm clear now. So whether it's time on the mat or it's researching or writing, all of it together connects you to building this yoga for digestive health. And
right.
So you're very comfortable with the 2-hour time slot, is that correct?
Well, for now, yeah. And then I would actually then have to put in time in the future to actually go around to doctors and promote the material. So that will be closer to the date, you know, to really go out physically. And promote the material and look at the agenda of really when that would be. Which it would be next month.
Okay.
So the next few weeks I really have to focus in on what I'm, building the program and then really working on marketing the program.
Okay. So is it safe to say that you did mention that in April time will free up? Is it safe to say right now that you can create a 2-hour time slot each week, and then in April you can add a little bit of additional time to go around to get the material out, like you suggested?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
sounds
like...
I have to commit to it, though.
I
have to commit to it.
Like you just need to commit to it.
I guess I have to commit to it. It's just of putting in that time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard when there's so much, I have so many commitments and I'm with yoga out.
You're yoga.
Yeah, because I just teach a lot. I feel like I teach a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then putting more time in, but this is something really important to me. So I'm even, want to just keep saying yes, like we did earlier. Say yes.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to be doing. And that, giving myself, really believing in it. So,
I'd like to just, for a moment, ask you to close your eyes and, again, sit in your seat. I just wanted to let you hear something that you had mentioned. And you had mentioned that you have a very a busy schedule. You're almost yoga'd out, but that this is something that is very important to you. So I'd love for you to just imagine your week with all that you have on your plate. And these extra 2 hours that you're going to be spending on this project. And how does it feel in your body to commit to those 2 hours to build this yoga digestive health project?
Yeah, I guess I still have to work on that. I have to work on that. I have to work on saying yes more to it, you know. I mean, it feels right now. It doesn't feel yet that it's fully blossomed, you know. So I have to work on my own maybe even just sensing of the great tool of healing that it is for others. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you.
I feel like I have to live it more. I feel like I have to start living the practice of what I want to be teaching a little bit more.
Living the practice of what you're going to be teaching more.
It's so specific. In a way, but maybe it's not. So I do have to spend some time on my yoga mat playing with it and coming up and writing the material.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. You mentioned that you have to commit to it more. And I'm just wondering, what is the pressure to commit to it more? And if we're not feeling it yet in the body, is there pressure? I'm just having an intuitive hunch about this, and you can let me know if this is true or not. Is there pressure to have to do this project, or is it something that you're really jiving with?
Well, no, it's something I'm really jiving with. The pressure, yes, is just making it something that is really healing, you know, something that's really something to offer, you know, having confidence in what I'm sharing or having confidence in the creation of this really, I guess, personal project. Building the confidence of that.
So it's more of maybe not even the commitment per se, but a confidence level that you actually have the confidence to offer this to your students and to the world. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
So can you imagine a time in your life where you were really confident and what that felt like in your body?
Yes.
Would you like to explore telling me what that was?
Yeah, I think when I'm confident in my body, I'm very grounded through my feet, and I also have an infinite ability to extend beyond my physical body. So there's a lot of opening to energy, to life force, to creation. That there is actually no blockages, it's all openness.
And is this time in your life, is this a recent experience or just a feeling that you're having in your body? Okay.
Yeah, very recent, for sure.
And in this recent experience, is that something that you might be able to connect to in meditation?
Yeah, I have a very strong meditation practice. So I meditate an hour a day,
Would you be open to exploring what it might feel like to put this project of yoga digestive health into your meditation practice and feel that confidence in your body when this project comes to mind?
I wouldn't maybe use it in my meditation practice. I would use it in my yoga practice. No, because to me, meditation practice is something that's, you know, I don't really bring thought or work into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would explore it, you know, in the physical movement of, or the meditation movement of yoga.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing that you could possibly find this level of confidence in your yoga practice and bring the Yoga Digestive Health Fundraiser into your practice of yoga and possibly feel what it is to feel confident with this project. Would that be safe to explore?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So feeling that, do you feel that more in your body at this point in our conversation?
Yeah, just even talking about it.
Mm-hmm. So ladies, I'm going to interrupt for a second. I'm going to interrupt for a second because we are out of time. So just go ahead and, Nicole, try to close this out in the next minute.
Okay. So I was just going to get to a commitment phrase from you, if I may, that this two-hour time slot, this two-hour window that we've created for you in your week, can you commit to creating that two-hour time slot and bringing your project into your physical practice to feel that level of confidence for you in the commitment? And can you say a commitment phrase around that action?
Yes. I commit to 2 hours of exploring the healing of yoga and digestive health in service to healing others.
Hmm. Fantastic. So you'll explore the 2 hours each week, and I would love to check in with you on that commitment. Is there a time that we might take away from this session that I could check in with you?
Sure, next the same time is perfect. Is that good with you?
That's great with me. Thank you so much, Brandy.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole.
Okay.
Thanks, ladies. Okay, Olga and Francis, you could unmute. And again, I know that's short and it's so challenging. And when you get to coach for an hour, it's going to feel so liberating, but I want to honor everyone's time. So, Olga, would you facilitate our feedback discussion, please?
Okay. I'd like that Nicole asked to be grounded. I noticed a little bit of hesitation from Brandy, and so I think that the inhale and the exhale probably helped her get more grounded as to the agenda that she was bringing. She was ready, you know, with an agenda as also. And so there were a number of things that she wanted to work on. And then Nicole reflected back what those things were. And so then came up the, you know, like all these things and, you know, well, you need, you know, maybe reprioritizing or just, you know, 2 hours a week. And so there was quite a number of things. And then I liked the question with regard to breaking it up into bite-sized chunks. And, let's see. No, I'm trying to remember now. And then, oh, yeah, there was, like, some laughter as to, you know, how is this going to look in your schedule? And, you know, it was like a laughter of, like, oh, my goodness, is this realistic or not? So, you know, so then there that question of commitment came up. So Nicole grounded her so she can come back to see where, you know, which way she does want to go. And so, the whole idea of committing to 2 hours came up, and you know, like she felt it in her body. So she was bringing her back to her body to see where she, you know, where she felt, you know, all of this, because it's, you know, she has this struggle with time right now, and whether or not it's going to fit, it's not going to fit. And then we came to the question of, like, okay, then it went over to the issue that was coming up with confidence. And I think that with more time, that could have been explored, and maybe asking her a question where, you know, like, where is the resistance that she might have had with regard to the project or to being committed to this project that means so much to her. And then I know at the end, you know, she was able to request the commitment phrase, which I think was important. It was a short period of time for where Nicole was trying to get to, I think.
Great. What did you hear one other thing that Nicole used so well that we talked about today?
Oh, intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she that's what allowed her to ask questions that she did, you know. The one on commitment, the one of going back to grounding, I felt the intuition there, definitely. Energetically, mm-hmm. I felt it.
And in her language, I don't know if the rest of you heard it, but she used the language of, I have I don't know if you said a hunch or a sense that, and she checked in with her to see if that landed with Brandy. So that was a great example of using her intuition.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you, Olga. Great insight, as usual. Frances, what would you like to add to the conversation?
I think they both did a great job. It, like Olga said, I felt like there was a lot that could have been explored, and had there been more time, they would have covered more ground with all the stuff that came up. When they got to the confidence piece, that for me felt like that was the breakthrough or the insight or whatever. It just felt like with both of them, it was kind of an aha moment. And so I thought, moving forward, that was going to be the piece that was going to be focused on. But it didn't really seem like towards the end that was where Brandy really wanted to sit with it. It seemed like the scheduling piece of focusing on getting more of the project done was where her focus wanted to be. And so that's where Nicole ended up going as well. But I could almost hear in Brandy's voice such a change when she was talking about the project, and when Nicole had asked her to sit with how she's feeling with it, Brandy talking about that versus when Nicole had asked her to describe the time when she felt confidence. There was just
oh wow, mid sentence. Oh my goodness. Okay, she's feeling a little frustrated. She'll be back on. Hopefully we can let's just give her a minute so we don't have to, we can stay with that thought and keep that energy around what she's sharing. Okay, I'm sure she'll come back on as soon as we continue. So in the interest of time, Brandy, share with the group how that felt for you.
It was good. I mean, it was something, and there's Francis maybe. I don't know. It was helpful to talk about it. You know, it's something that I'm not really talking about. So it was helpful to be coached on it, and it was helpful. I think the last part of really making the commitment sentence, like I really felt that. I felt that it was so important to me, and just to realize that, you know, I'm doing this also, that the hours I will dedicate to it is just really of service, you know, to others, of healing, and it just, that really resonated well with me. And then it was interesting also, even I was just listening to Olga, and she, when she said, you know, where is the resistance, and that would have been an interesting path for me, I guess, to really also go into, because as soon as Olga felt that, I understood also that there is resistance here, resistance of, you know, failing in this and the whole thing. So, yeah, it was very powerful. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you for sharing. Nicole, how did that feel to you?
It felt good. I definitely felt like the aha moment was the confidence part. And also, like, an intervention moment, I mean, the obvious kind of stuckness or the nervous laughter. And I tried to mirror her laughter because it just seemed like that was a fun place to just go with her. But then I really wanted to ground her and get her in her body and start to really peel away what this felt like for her and go somatically, because I know I do the same thing. I have nervous laughter as my pattern when I'm not comfortable. And, you know, it's interesting that Olga said the resistance, because I thought to myself there's a lack of confidence, and I wasn't sure which direction or path to go. I could go into the resistance or I could build her confidence. And so I just chose to do a visualization around confidence, thinking that that might be a positive path to take. And I think it was a little harder to build. Maybe the resistance would have been a tad more, I don't know. I mean, we didn't go down that path, so I guess I can't say what it would have been like. But that's an interesting path as well. So I was trying to link.
I'm going to pause you there for a moment, because it's interesting that that came up for you, and you asked the question earlier in the call about intuition versus path. And so you're asking yourself, which path did you want to go? And I think a stronger sense of being in coach mode would have been to ask her.
Interesting,
it's a really dynamic piece of this model, and it's just so synchronistic that you asked the question like an hour ago. Brilliant. So you guys, as everyone, Princess, are you back on the call? Okay.
So I would actually say, I'm seeing two paths we could go.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to explore the resistance that's coming up, or would you like to explore?
Which one would you choose?
Yeah, confidence. Which one would you choose? Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we at the bottom. And I wanted to give a little bit of feedback from me, but I just want to make sure that lands with everybody. Did I make a distinction there?
Great. That was really helpful.
Very helpful.
That's awesome. So, you guys are getting a really great handle on the steps for the simple coaching model, and it's almost now we're like refining and distilling and bringing in intuition and reading energy and all these refinement things that take us from good to great. And Nicole did a beautiful job of your ideas and your thoughts around those five simple coaching models. I would like to see you asking more powerful questions. And so I want to make this really clear. Your ideas and concepts are right on. But it's the language that you're using. You asked probably six yes or no questions.
Oh, okay.
Is it safe to say, yes or no
questions, just notice that and maybe listen back to the recording and just hear. So all you need to do is to shift those yes or no questions to a powerful question. Who, what, when, where, how? What's it like, you know, would you like to explore? Like, for example, you said, would you like to explore? Is it safe to say? Those were a lot of your yes and no questions. Rather than, what would that look like? See the difference? Mm-hmm. Then you allow Brandy to engage in more conversation. What else did I have here? Yeah, just to continue to work on the language piece. It's not what you're saying, it's just how you're delivering it. Because what you're saying is gone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it mm-hmm. shifts the energy of the call and puts it more on client to come up with the answers themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. We are at the bottom of our hour and a half. So thanks, ladies, as always. It's a pleasure. Read pages 185 through 194 for your homework. This is all in the syllabus. I would love for you to distill more of your UBS, your undeniable benefit statement. And then I would like for you to create a list of 5 people who you could share your UBS with this week as part of your homework. Okay? If you have any questions.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So just next week we're meeting with Dr. Dave. David, is
correct.
He coming on our call next week?
Yes, he is. Week 11.
So he's leading the call next week?
He is. He's talking about the business of the call, business of coaching.
Okay.
Very, very valuable. I'll be there, and we'll be interacting, but just for an hour, and then we'll go into our coach-to-coach session.
Okay.
Okay? So if you guys have any questions between now and then, I'll send you those documents, or if you feel like you wanted to say more right now, but we ran out of time, shoot me an email, and I hope you guys have a great week. Okay, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.